Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Your grace, oh, your grace. I'm nothing
without you.
Your grace
shines on me.
Shines on me.
Your grace shines on me.
Hey, oh my God.
Shines on me. It's your grace.
Shines on me. Your grace shines on me.
Shines on me. It's your grace.
Hallelujah. It's one of my favorite songs. And it has a way of just putting you in that stillness of heart. And you can see that everything that is happening for you is because of the grace of God. What was supposed to be a form of punishment but led to a promotion was not because you did everything right. It was because God showed interest in you. Hallelujah. It is a cost to depend completely on what your flesh can deliver. The Bible says, by the arm of flesh shall no man prevail. You know, so there's that element of grace that as Christians we always need. And as we come into the new year, I want to encourage you to begin to look very carefully into how you can benefit from the grace of God. Now let's look at our scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 57, and we'll read verse 58. But thanks be to God who gives us, I'm reading from the New King James, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And my area of emphasis, the verse 57 is loaded anyway. But my area of first is in the 58 and the last verse there. It said, therefore, my beloved brethren, are we having the scriptures showing on the screen? Okay, open your Bibles. God, don't catch me now today. The thing never worked. Can you see that scripture in your own Bible? Even if you have a Jehovah's Witness Bible, you'll see it. Can I read on? He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing. You must know. That what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to declare, my labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this short exhortation is titled, Be Steadfast. Hallelujah. As we move into the year 2024, a lot is going to happen. And God is saying, look, my children, I need you to be steadfast. I want us to extract this. I want us to extract this scripture. This scripture came not just from a spiritual father, but you found Paul referring to this church that he has discipled, and he said, my brothers. That means this is a matter for family. Say, my beloved brothers. My beloved brothers. Because, so he's trying to appeal to their sense of family. There are certain things you cannot do if you don't appeal to the sense of family in people's heart. When Lot was going to leave Abraham came to me and said, let there be no enmity. Even though Abraham was unhappy, you see, when you say somebody is big brother, it's not always in the amount of meat he has in the pot of, in his plate. It's in the way he handles things or the way he concedes. As a big brother or as the father of the house, many times you concede. You know, from personally, my experience anyway, I notice that sometimes when we are at home, some things are family matters. You may not understand that why parents always have to concede. Eh? If you have an issue with somebody and the person is always conceding to you, say, okay, that means you are the child. Please, are you with me? Even in a marriage, if you are always the one having to concede to the person, you are the adult, that person is the child. What you should seek for is compromise. Huh? It's not every, sometimes your wife will concede, sometimes you will concede. But don't always be at the receiving end of the line and somebody is, because somebody is paying the price. Somebody is suffering. That thing on your table, somebody is paying the price. Life is not free. Huh? That's the reason why everybody is not rich. Because there is, you need knowledge. Knowledge. The knowledge you need to be rich now is not the ones our parents needed in 1845, because the times have changed. It may be similar in principle, but different in practice. I'm still explaining why Paul will say, my brethren. My brethren. It's an appeal. Do we have the scriptures now? Be steadfast. What does it mean to be steadfast? Huh? Help me. Okay, look at your Google. Huh? Consistent. Okay. Keep doing it. What else? Please, look at your phone and give me the words. Don't pray about it. Just look at, use Google. Duro shishin. Yes. Ah, but this one, duro shishin. What does that mean? That's a very strong word, but I want to. If say Mama is asking, is it Yoruba? Mama, what do you say? How do you say it in Igbo? Something with the kakaraka, we know they move. And that's what we are saying, you know? Something with the, you just turn, can't wait. Like, apruka. So. Aproka, something just did can't wait, like a rock. Rain or sunshine, you meet it, huh? Like a rock, that rock behind your father's house in your village. You people have run away from the village. The rock is still there. You people as children used to climb on that rock to go and play, and you play and come back in the evening to come and eat. But that rock is still there. The rock has never complained. It's not planning to jackpot. It's not planning to marry. It's not planning to have children. That rock is there. Say, be steadfast. Because one of the challenges that can come to a believer when Satan finds it difficult to sway him is he will begin to make his legs become shaky. By reason of failed promises, by reason of long seasons of prayer without seeming answer. When you seek God, next year I will come and talk about some things, and I may offend some of you, but just take it in love. So we say consistent, steadfast. You stay with something and you continue to do it. What else? Resolute, in spite of every reason to give up. You are unshakable. You are loyal. What else do you have there? Dutiful. You see, this steadfast always has to do with commitment. Yes? Did you say dependable? Who said dependable? Dependable. This is Paul, because this is how you study the Bible. Don't forget about the Greek and Hebrew and the extra dimensional whatever. Just pick your Bible like a child and look at it. You will grow faster. Your Christian life will be solid. We must no longer come to church and raise weak Christians. Come on, say amen. That is a big problem in a place like Lagos. The place is a big problem. God is not happy in Nigerian church. We gather millions and millions every day, but God is finding it difficult committing himself to us. The Bible says Jesus could not commit himself to any man, to them, because he knew them. He knew all. He knew their hearts. They came for food. Did Jesus heal them? Yes. Did Jesus cast out their devils? Yes, but that was not really his priority. He wanted them to have all the good things, but most importantly, he wanted their heart. Hallelujah. Give me that scripture. He said, "Be my beloved brethren, be resolute, steadfast, duroshishi." There's one hymn like that. Christ, it has failed me. But that Duroshishi is in that translation. Next year, we will go see him where we are for this church. Say amen. I'm going back to Anglican church. Give me my scripture. He said, be steadfast and what? Immovable. There is going to be contention in your life about the promise of God. And Satan will not tell you it's not God, but he will try to move you. That means even though you are like a rock, you can be moved spiritually. Even Jesus said that you can speak to a rock and it will move. Words are powerful. How do you think Satan is going to move you? Words. How do you think he will get you into a tight spot where you will no longer be steadfast? Words. You need to understand Satan's strategy so you are not looking very far away. The day you wanted to do something and you later started becoming discouraged, what happened to you? Some things were coming to your mind. Huh? Like this thing, will it even work? What? Certain things, thoughts were coming to your mind. Say, be immovable. God wants us to be immovable. We can be immovable. Hallelujah. We can be immovable. Because God is immovable. Hallelujah. God wants us to be like him. Be immovable. When Paul was teaching this Bible study, most likely Demas was in church that day. Demas would shout, "Yes! Preach, pastor! Pastor!" But you see, our Lord taught us, he said, it is the doers that are blessed. Instead of crying and say, "God, why are you not blessing me?" How much of the scripture are you practicing? It's not wrong. You see the reason why God gave us this book? It's so that your following God will not depend on Pastor Gwinga. Yes. Anybody can say anything. But have you checked the book? You can change your life by following this book. Say amen. You can change your life. He says, be immovable. Next line. Always. Abounding. What does it mean to abound? Always abound.
abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. What does it mean to abound? Listen to me. Can you see that everything Paul was talking about in one verse, he was talking about Satan's strategy to draw us away from the Lord. Listen to me, if you are close to God, if you live in God's house, let's say God lives at phase one. No, Osborne. Osborne is better. If God lives at Osborne or Banana Island, and you live in his house, do you sincerely expect God to come and wake you and say, good morning? Can you help me wash my car? Do you honestly expect him to tell you? Do you know why many of us fall out of favor when God brings us into strategic relationships? Because we expect relationships to serve us. We are not really thinking, how can I serve to promote this relationship? Some of you say, I've been trying to see this pastor for a while. He doesn't talk so long on the phone. He doesn't have time. Go and ask the pastor, how can I lighten your burden? You will notice that week, if you call once, you'll pick. Go and try it. Just try it. Don't say I told you. Don't use it on me. Just try it. That your boss that you always treat you anyhow in the office, go to him and say, sir, I've been looking at this. Share some insightful thoughts and say, how would you like me to, what would you really like me to do that could really help you around what you do? It may be on my desk or it could be other things. So we have people like this. He will be the one calling you. Have you got you home? How's your family? Okay, good night. I'll see you tomorrow. He will start talking to you like a friend. God has a work to do on earth. For which reason he sent Jesus. And the essence of coming to a church like this on a Sunday is to raise and train people to do that work. He has done his own. He died, resurrected. And it was your forefathers that killed him. But he's not angry. He has forgiven all of you. But he has a work to do. And he said, how straightened I am till this fire will be released. He labored for 3.5 years. Labored. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, he went from city to village. Come on, say city to village. Jesus was not a mega pastor. See, God has called me to the upwardly mobile. God has called me to the those in the corporate industry. One day in this church, I will have interpreter here. We just want to get the message out. I'm not really... See, I speak English. I don't think I'm trying to prove to anybody that I speak English anymore. Let's get the message out. I look forward to a day we can have a Yoruba service or Igbo service or service in Pidgin English here. Yes! We will sing Niger Delta song in that service. We will not sing Hallelujah for the Lord. We will sing Niger. If you don't know how to dance, don't come to that service. So come for the other one that pastor will be singing. Glorify your name in all the earth. Like Benny. Even me, I was not coming to church. I'll be coming for that Niger Delta. We'll call it Niger Delta service. That's the name of that service. Come with your anchor chief. You dance. Now that pastor has changed. Joko Sibe. God has a work to do on the earth. And he's looking for men. Because even up till now, he is still saying the laborers are few. God is the only one who has ever admitted that he doesn't have enough workers. But your own company, they don't have enough people and they are still sacking. I'm telling you, they will still sack again. Every promotion list comes with sack list. If they promote this week, next week, people will cry. Always abounding the work of the Lord. That suggests to me that God is not just interested in us following him and working for him, but continuing to work and labor in his vineyard. Please, the word abound, what does it mean? Something that is plenteous. Abundance. What else, please? Help me. We are preaching together this morning. Huh? Overflow. Overflow in your service to God. Don't be a God user. The time you pray and worship Him should not be when you have a problem. Pray for lost souls. Come on, say pray for lost souls. Pray for lost. You have many people in your office. Have a day or two just before going to bed. Father, I thank you for Morenike in the name of Jesus. I pray for her. Father, I want you to bless her, reveal yourself to her so that she can become a Christian, she can become a God lover, she can fulfill her destiny. You begin to pray intercessory prayers. The reason why we don't love ourselves is because we don't pray for ourselves. Yes. It's not rocket science. Not until you give somebody money. And that's what makes it even very difficult to forgive. Please, are you with me this morning? This is a kingdom, and God has given us His own strategy for solving problems. Abound in the work of the Lord. Overflow in the work of the Lord. Go above and beyond in the work of the Lord. 2024, we will work for God. I say we will work for God. Some of you will be soul winners. Some of you will win 10 souls, 20 souls. And many of them will grow and become men of God. Many of them, because they have met Jesus through, they will have happy homes in the future. Yes. Do you know there are things that are very important to God? Like winning souls for Christ, for Jesus. That's why I told you there's something wrong with the gospel we preach in Africa. In Nigeria, there's something wrong. But that gospel does not bring souls. It does not bring souls. It brings multitude, but it doesn't bring souls. And there is something the Bible refers to as mixed multitude. Have you heard that language before, Yvonne? Mixed multitude. It's in the Bible. Where you have both Christians and non-believers in a place, and they say they came to serve God. And God moved away from them because He's seeing mixed multitude. Come on, say, I must abound in the work of the Lord. God has a work of redemption to do on earth. And He needs men, women, and children. Do you know that even God uses children for His work? Yes. When I was a young boy in secondary school, the Lord gave me a very strange burden. I was in Genesis 1. And I was always sharing the gospel with my classmates up till SS3, Command Secondary School, the military school. And many times they will beat me and punish me. And, you know, in those days, when they punish you, you can't go home and tell your parents. It's part of school. It's part of school. And if you went to boarding school like myself, you understand better. The boarding school they have today is not boarding school. They are just going there to enjoy. They even must say, I must abound in the work of the Lord. This is the word of God. Please look at it. This is God's expectation. That whether you are a newborn believer or you have been a Christian for years, God wants you to abound. And there are areas you can abound. Let's assume that you are so rich. You are so wealthy and you cannot do so many things because of your age. And maybe you are very old. You can give. You can give. Bring your clothes. Bring your shoes. When we go for evangelism, let's give it to those who need. Come and say abound. That shoe that you cannot wear again is somebody's prayer point. Bring it. Brother Pa is going for evangelism. This is 1,000 naira. You may meet somebody that has not eaten. Give. 500, this one, 200. He will share it among three people. They have known Brother Pete. The next time they see him, they won't be running away from him. The reason why they run away from us during evangelism is that we preach, and they are hungry. Come and say abound. Your money must go into this work. Say, look, did you see, give me that scripture. Did you see the lower part? He said your labor. Do you see that word labor? That labor is your personal effort. I know we talk about the grace of God, but your own labor is involved. By the time you leave your house at Lekki or Morwe, and you come all the way to an area like this on Saturday, because of your desire to abound, and you begin to say, Lord, today give me 10 souls. Lord, give me 10 souls. Lord, give me 10 souls. Or you resume in this office and say, Father, there are 10 people here. Lord, give me 5 souls. Let them find something that attracts me to them. And let them come and let them just, you know, some people just see, they just trust you. They don't know why, but they like the aura around you. They just want to talk to you. And outside the office space, you can share the gospel and say, I had this issue too before, about 3 years ago. I decided to call upon God. What's your relationship with God like, if I may ask? You can say, see, my sister, I'm not preaching religion to you. I was once in your shoes. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we say anything, let's pray. The moment they can see your genuine love and concern, there is something about love. It opens doors without keys. It will open the door. The reason is, the problem is that most times when we talk to people, they can see that it's as if we have another agenda. They are not too sure where we are coming from. My sister, we're having this conversation today. I believe God wanted us to talk about this. Put God in front burner. When they go away, they come 2 weeks later and find that it's still this God you are talking about. You've not asked them that. Sorry, you're in 500. You are looking for 500 to buy. There's one thing I used to buy. We used to buy at Suleri when I was Opa. Is it Opa? Uh-huh. I've never seen Opa in my life. The thing looked like moi moi. So when I saw my Igbo brethren, I was living with Igbo brethren, they woke me up and I said, let's go and eat Opa. I said, what's Opa? They said, just come and see. When I saw it, I said, I'm not. I said, this moment, I said, I don't want. They said, this is the only, we don't cook in this house. Once you lamb this one, you lamb it. Once you lamb this one, you move. You move. Don't wait again. What are you waiting for? And I saw them, including if I call some of these pastors, they are big men of God now. Some of them are pastors. So I see them preaching now, for the power of the Lord. There's somebody you are sent to. There's somebody that will go to hell if you don't talk to them. God is not asking for too many things. He wants a harvest. That criminal in your office, Jesus also died for him. You are only lucky that your parents were Christians. You would have been a worse criminal. Say, always abounding in the work. Always consistency. Always. In the morning or in the night time, you are always asking, what is God doing today? How am I supposed to be involved? Not making excuses. The way many of us chase money, God is not even sure if you accepted Jesus or you accepted money. Because it's so amazing. The day you are broke is on your face. It's so written. I need to round up. He says, I must abound in the work of the Lord because there is a knowing that I must have. If I don't have this knowing, I will not abound. If I don't have this knowing, there is something that I must know in my spirit. That is why even when you sin, you drag yourself and come back and knew that Baba, I have failed, I have sinned. Have mercy. Because we have come this far, we cannot go back. We have come this far. Now, many of you will now understand that all the things, testimonies you've been sharing, is just God's mercy. Because you didn't do anything for the devils to say, it's like, this lady is showing promise. Let's send her to you, to the US. She will do more. God is also a businessman in the business of souls. Let's not kid ourselves. Many of us have only used God, and God has not gotten his labor, the reward of his labor over us. So if this is the Bible says it's good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. If you are not bearing the yoke now, is it 10 years time you have not learned how to bear your yoke? You have not learned what it means to follow Jesus? You have not learned what it means to fail and to rise up again? The only thing you've learned of Christ are the things that pertain to your belly. Is it when you are 50 years old that you will now learn? The Bible said it is good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. Because when he's old, what happens? There's nothing God can do with him. If he's giving his life to Christ at 70, everyone will rejoice. But there's no energy, there's no stamina, there's not really so much that God can do with him. Because the body is now weak. Come on, see how we are bound. He said, knowing that your labor in the Lord is what? Is not in vain. Knowing that your labor, give me that scripture. Knowing that your labor in the Lord. Oh, there are things we are going to do just because of Jesus, not because it's convenient. Are you with me now? There are things we are going to do. Sometimes we are going to part with our money. Sometimes we are going to stay up the night. There are things we are going to do, and it just looks like, ah, oh God, if not for you, if not for you. You see, at the heart of this scripture is the concept of your love for God. Because if your love for God is not established on a solid rock, there are things that will happen to you, will turn back. Yes. Yes. When Jesus was put on that cross, he had 12 disciples. Only one was there. John. That's very painful. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think so? 12 men that he gave and shared his anointing with. But they ran away. And he knew that they ran. Even the one that tried to be so bold. Still denied him. And he was seen from afar. Peter. You should have just kept quiet too, and let them arrest you. Then when I resurrect, I'll come and free you. John also ran away at the garden of Gethsemane. The moment they caught somebody's ears, and they saw that Jesus was not going to do shakabadabada and make them fall under the anointing. See, at this juncture, it's like the anointing, no, it's not picking up like before again. So, you have to be very wise. The first thing is to run, then come back and fight. But John ran and found his way back to the cross. Close enough to when Jesus could even see him. And Jesus said, John, behold your mother. That was the last favor he could do for his mother. I want somebody to take care of her. You know, there was a time the mother was fighting with him that Jesus doesn't come to the house again. And he's just going about solving other people's problems. He will not wash plate. He will not sweep the house. He will not talk to his younger brothers. But there will be him that is doing crusade. You want to win the world, but you've not won your family. Have you heard that kind of thing before? So they came to fight with him. So let's go and meet brother. When we reach there, we'll shout that you know they sleep for house. We don't know where they stay. Jesus too refused. He refused to come out. You know, you have to know when to fight and when to run away. Jesus ran away from his mother. He started shouting for her, but who is my mother? Come out and tell me. Say, no, I will not come out. Who is my father? He that doeth the will of God. He that doeth what God said. He that is given to the will of God. Not any man with excuses. You may sit with me, but if you are full of excuses, I will not commit myself to you. You may speak in tongues. Billy Graham didn't speak in tongues. Change the word. Read the Bible. Just speak it and read. See the way Jesus talks. See the way he thinks. And just build your life around. Don't let people lie to you and make you think church is comedy. How did we get so far that it's comedy we are doing in church? How did we get so far? And the Holy Spirit left us quietly and we didn't know. We must restore the sacredness of our worship. We must restore it. We must restore it in this new year. You must choose to be different. You must restore the sacredness. You must separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff will not grow. It cannot grow. It's not a seed. But the seed can grow. stay away from useless things. See, you must know, give me that scripture, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, as long as what you are doing is in the name of the Lord. God say your reward will not be in vain. Your labor will not be in vain. Because many times the things you do may cost you something. May cost you something. It's not as if you always have, but God, you know, you have 1,000, you give somebody 300 naira. You support them, you pray for them. Some of these people, have you ever prayed for people and you even ask yourself, is somebody even praying for me? Has it ever occurred to you? Because you are going through a lot of pain, you are even like, ha. Somebody praying for you. I woke up this morning, I saw a message from one of our church members from Bagada Church. And she just said, Pastor, I'm praying for strength for you in this season. I did not open the message, but I read it, you know, it's iPhone. Just use your eye, read it. Early in the morning. And that means so much to me. He said, we must know. Because Satan will try to tell you that you are just wasting your time. That you are just wasting your time. You are coming to church, you are working in the church, you are preaching to people, laboring, you are sharing the gospel with people. But many of you here have Instagram accounts. If we look at that Instagram account, there's nothing on that Instagram that will tell us that he's a Christian. Just dancing and camera and all those things. It's your body. But you see, you are abounding in carnal things. You are not abounding in the work of the Lord. Why should your Instagram account be the reason why many cannot serve God? They are going there to see your latest dance of Salome. Salome danced and a prophet died. Salome in the Bible, she danced and they killed the prophet. Ah! It's too much. This dance is too much. Kill him. They killed John the Baptist. As anointed as John was, a dance killed him. Tell yourself, say after me, we must restore the sacredness of spiritual things. Say we must abound always. Working for God is sacred. Working for God. Every time you are going through a financial challenge, I want you to know that it's not the financial challenge is the problem. Satan wants you to stop working for God. Yes. When you have issues with your husband at home, and you are almost dragging your shirt and tearing, you almost tore your wig away. Just know that the target is not that wig. He wants you to be so upset that you cannot serve God. Have you noticed that when things like that happen, you will hear, I don't feel like going to church this morning. Eh? Was it the pastor that said you should fight? But did you get angry? You didn't need that money. Because you still need strength to fight. You need strength to fight because the man has gone out. You don't know what he's coming back with this afternoon. So you have to eat well. One woman wore jeans, trousers, that because she doesn't know what, so she has to be ready. But on Sunday, say, I'm not happy this morning. I want to just be alone by myself. God should understand. But it's not God that made you and your husband tear your shirt. I mean, therefore, just think about it. Why is God always at the receiving end? Meanwhile, you are fighting because you refuse to obey God's word. The husband does not know his place. The wife does not know her place. So they are fighting. Fighting with jeans. Fighting. So if you do not abound in the work of the Lord, you will abound in the work of Satan. There's no middle ground. But for you to abound in the work of the Lord, you must know something. And what do you need to know? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If there's anything you have done for the Lord, it will not be in vain. I want you to receive grace this morning. Stand up and let us pray. Stand up and let us pray. Stand up and let us pray.